All right, so have you ever wondered if you can rob someone if you think they owe you money?
It's a question that comes up more often than you might think.
Yeah, it sounds kind of crazy at first, right?
It does. But believe it or not, that's exactly what these two cases we're diving into today deal with.
People versus Reed and People versus Riddles.
Yep, both landed in the New York Court of Appeals.
And they both tackle this really tricky question. Can you say you have a right to the money if you use force to get it?
Does that change anything legally?
Exactly.
And the court's answer might surprise you.
Yeah, it really gets to the heart of how we define robbery.
And how far you can actually go when you're trying to, collect a debt.
So let's jump right into the first case, People versus Reed. This one's about a drug debt that turned into a pretty bad situation.
Yeah, Reed and his stepbrother, they both had guns, and they went to collect money they thought was owed to them from a drug deal.
And tragically, it escalated, and Reed ended up shooting his stepbrother.
Really sad case.
Now, here's where it gets interesting. Reed was actually acquitted of felony murder.
But he was convicted of robbery?
It's like, how can you be found not guilty of the, more serious crime, but still guilty of robbery?
Well, you got to look at the specific elements of each crime.
Right.
The jury basically didn't believe that Reed meant to kill his stepbrother.
But they did think he used force to take the money.
Which, fits the definition of robbery.
Okay, so let's move on to the Riddles case.
This one involves a debt collection, but the stories don't really match up.
Yeah, there are two sides to this story.
Bellamy said she was attacked by a stranger.
While Riddle said, no, I know her and she owes me money.
Right.
But the court, they still upheld his robbery conviction.
Even though he said he was owed the money.
So both of these cases seem to show that even if you really believe someone owes you money, if you use force, you're in trouble.
Absolutely. To understand why, we need to dig into the difference between robbery and larceny.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
So in New York, robbery means forcibly stealing property with the intent to keep it from the owner.
Okay, so how's that different from larceny?
Well, with larceny, you have this thing called a claim of right defense.
A claim of right.
Yeah. So if you genuinely believe you have a legal right to the property, you're not really stealing right.
So you don't have that intent to steal.
Exactly.
Okay, so why doesn't that same defense work for robbery?
That's a great question. And it all comes down to the difference between, specific property, like a stolen watch,
Right.
and what the court calls fungible cash.
Fungible cash.
Not sure if I've heard that term before.
Think of it like this. If you lend someone a $20 bill, you don't expect to get that exact same bill back.
Right, you just want $20 back.
Exactly. Cash is interchangeable. It's not unique the way a specific object is.
So basically, because you can't say you own specific bills, the court says you can't use claim of right if you use force to take, generic money. Right on. But the court was also thinking about bigger picture stuff here.
Public policy and all that.
Exactly. They really wanted to discourage what they call vigilante justice.
So even if you feel justified, you can't just take the law into your own hands.
And to really drive that point home, the court pointed out that robbery laws, unlike larceny laws, specifically leave out the claim of right defense.
Interesting. So they're saying using force is never okay, even if you think the debt is real.
Right. It really shows how much the court prioritizes public safety over individual claims.
And it really makes you think, doesn't it? Even if you're convinced you've been ripped off,
Yeah.
you can't just decide to, be the judge and jury
Couldn't agree more.
to really understand how serious the court was about this.
We should take a look at some quotes from Judge Simon's opinion. He was the one who wrote the majority opinion.
Yeah, let's hear him.
Okay, so he wrote, "Manifestly, a larceny differs from a robbery in which the defendant obtains money allegedly owed to him by threatening or using force."
Okay, so he's saying taking what you think is yours without force is one thing.
Right.
But using force, that's a whole different story.
Totally different. He goes on to say, "Since such forcible conduct entails the risk of physical or mental injury to individuals, it should be subject to criminal sanctions."
So the court's really serious about the use of force, no matter what the reason is.
Absolutely. The potential for harm is just too high.
Makes you wonder, though, did the court talk about what happens if you're not trying to get money back?
What if you're trying to get a stolen car back or something?
Yeah, is that still robbery?
That's a really good question. And the court actually chose not to rule on whether that claim of right thing applies in cases that don't involve debt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that's still a gray area.
It is. And that leaves a lot of room for debate.
Definitely keeps things interesting. But before we get into that,
yeah,
let's circle back to Reed for a second. Remember, he had another argument about how the jury was instructed on coerced testimony.
Oh, right, right. It might seem like a small detail.
Yeah, but these little procedural things can have a big impact on a case.
Absolutely.
And even though his argument was ultimately rejected, it shows just how important due process is.
Every detail matters. Okay, so now that we've got a handle on the legal concepts,
yeah,
let's talk about what this all means in the real world.
What does this mean for lawyers?
Exactly, for both defense attorneys and prosecutors.
Right, because understanding how this stuff actually works in practice is super important.
For sure. So for all the defense attorneys out there listening,
what's the big takeaway from these cases?
Well, it seems like that claim of right defense might work for larceny, but not for robbery.
That's a key point for sure. Defense attorneys got to make sure their clients know that using force to collect debts is a huge no-no.
No matter how justified they feel.
Exactly.
And for the prosecutors, what should they be focusing on?
Proving that force or threats were used, that's what makes it robbery, not just a disagreement about money.
So both sides have some things to think about, but what's the overall message here? The court is making it clear that they value public safety and a peaceful society above everything else.
Even over individual claims that might seem valid at first glance.
Exactly. They're basically saying, don't take the law into your own hands, no matter how tempting it might be.
It's a reminder that there are legal ways to resolve disputes, and those ways are all about keeping the peace.
You got it. The rule of law comes first. Now, let's go back to the Reed case for a sec. Remember, he was convicted of robbery, even though he was found not guilty of felony murder.
Yeah, that was kind of confusing at first.
It was.
But I guess it shows that different crimes have different elements that need to be proven.
Exactly. The jury didn't think Reed meant to kill his stepbrother, but they did think he used force to take the money. And that was enough to convict him of robbery.
Okay, that makes sense. It really shows how important it is for lawyers on both sides to, like, carefully break down each case and make their arguments accordingly.
Absolutely. Prosecutors have got to focus on proving that force or threats were used, no matter what the defendant says about being owed money.
And defense attorneys have got to emphasize that using any kind of force is a bad idea, no matter how much their client might feel justified.
Because, as we've seen in both Reed and Riddles, claiming you have a right to the property doesn't mean you can use force to get it back.
Now let's shift gears to the Riddles case. In this one, the defendant's claim of right was even stronger, wasn't it?
Yeah, in a way it was. Riddles actually testified that he knew Bellamy and she actually owed him money. It wasn't just a case of mistaken identity or a vague suspicion.
But this is where the court's reasoning about fungible cash comes into play, right?
Exactly, because you can't claim ownership of specific bills the way you can claim a specific stolen watch or a family heirloom.
Right.
So even though Riddles said he was just taking what he was owed, the court said using force to do that turned it into robbery.
So even if you have a signed contract or whatever proof that you're owed money, that doesn't give you the right to get violent.
Nope, not at all. The legal system gives us ways to handle financial disputes, and those ways are all about peaceful resolution, not violence.
It's about keeping order and preventing chaos, right?
Exactly. Imagine if everybody just decided to use force to collect debts.
It would be anarchy.
Total anarchy. And that's why these cases are so important. The courts are basically saying, hey, we get it. Sometimes you want to take things into your own hands, but let's stick to a system where we resolve things peacefully and fairly.
Okay, so let's dig a little deeper into the legal arguments that were made in these cases.
Sounds good.
One of the biggest issues was the difference between specific property and fungible cash, right?
Right, and how that difference affects that claim of right defense.
So they were saying that if it's about a specific identifiable thing like a stolen car or a piece of jewelry,
yeah,
there's a better argument for using that claim of right defense even if some force is used.
Right, because in those situations, the person can actually point to a specific item and say, that's mine, it was taken from me, and I have a right to get it back.
But with money, it's trickier, especially if it's not something unique like a rare coin or a bill with a specific serial number.
Right, because cash is generally interchangeable.
So the court drew a clear line in these cases, limiting that claim of right defense to situations where someone's trying to get back a very specific, identifiable thing.
Exactly. It's all about setting clear boundaries, even when things get messy.
And that clarity is really important, both for upholding the law and for making sure everyone knows what the consequences are for their actions.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So this is a perfect example of how a seemingly simple legal question can turn into a really complex and nuanced discussion.
It really highlights how important it is to understand not just the rules of the law,
right,
but also the big picture ideas that influence court decisions.
Because ultimately, the law isn't just about a bunch of rules. It's about creating a framework for a fair and orderly society.
Well said. Now, before we move on, I think we should talk a bit more about the court's decision not to rule on whether the claim of right defense applies in those non-debt robbery cases.
Yeah, that question's still out there. What about using force to recover stolen property that isn't money?
Right. For now, we have a partial answer. A puzzle with some pieces still missing.
It's like they've given us a way to understand the law in these specific debt-related cases, but they've also left us with some interesting questions about where the line is drawn in other types of property disputes.
And that's what makes this area of law so fascinating. There's always more to explore, more details to uncover.
I'm definitely hooked. Let's move on and see where this conversation takes us.
Let's do it.
All right, so we've spent some time unpacking these two cases, People versus Reed and People versus Riddles.
And, you know, like we said, the big takeaway is that even if you think someone owes you money, using force to collect it is still robbery.
Right. The court drew a line in the sand with these decisions.
Absolutely. They really highlighted the difference between robbery and larceny.
And they made it clear that using force to settle debts is just not okay.
Not okay at all.
But like you said earlier, the court kind of left us hanging with some questions, especially when it comes to situations that don't involve debt. Like, they didn't say whether that claim of right defense works when someone uses force to get back stolen property that isn't money.
Yeah, that's a whole other can of worms.
Right. It seems like a really gray area. Like, on one hand, shouldn't someone be able to get back their own stuff, even if it means using a little force?
Well, it's a tough question because you have to balance those individual rights with the need for, you know, order and safety in society. The court was worried that allowing people to use force in these kind of situations could lead to, like, chaos and things getting out of hand.
I can see that.
Yeah.
It's hard to say what's reasonable force and what's going too far.
Exactly. That's why the law generally says you should use the legal system to deal with these things, not try to take matters into your own hands.
But I think a lot of people would say that the legal system can be really slow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if the police are busy with other stuff and you have a chance to get your property back right then and there, it would be tempting to just, like, do it right.
Yeah, I get that. Those feelings are understandable. But imagine if everyone just decided to use force whenever they felt like it. It would be a mess.
Be like the Wild West out there.
Exactly. And that's what the court is trying to prevent. They're basically saying, look, we get it, but let's stick to a system where we can resolve things peacefully.
So for people who might be in this tough situation, they've had something stolen and the legal options seem impossible or just too slow, what should they do?
Well, first of all, safety should always come first. Don't ever put yourself in a dangerous situation. If there's any way to involve the police, do it. But if that's not possible, document everything, take pictures, get witnesses, gather any proof you have.
And then talk to a lawyer as soon as possible, right? Because as we've learned, even if you think you're in the right, using force could get you in serious trouble.
Absolutely. These cases are a good reminder that the law, even when it's annoying or inconvenient, is there to protect everyone.
So I think it's safe to say that the line between trying to help yourself and breaking the law is a lot thinner than most people realize, especially when it comes to stuff like debt collection or getting back stolen property.
The court is basically telling us to think twice, to try to find peaceful solutions, and to remember that the legal system, even if it's not perfect, is there to help us deal with these complicated situations.
Right.
Now, going back to the Reed case for a minute, remember how he was found guilty of robbery even though he was acquitted of felony murder?
Yeah, that seemed kind of strange at first.
It did, didn't it? But it really shows how different crimes have different elements that have to be proven.
Right. The jury didn't believe Reed meant to kill his stepbrother, but they did believe he used force to take the money. And that was enough for a robbery conviction. It goes to show how important it is for lawyers to really break down each case and figure out the best way to argue it.
Absolutely. Prosecutors got to focus on proving that force or threats were used, no matter what the defendant says about being owed money.
And defense attorneys got to make it clear that using force is never the answer, no matter how justified their client feels.
Because, like we've seen in both Reed and Riddles, just because you say you have a right to the property doesn't mean you can use force to get it.
Now, let's talk about the Riddles case for a second. It seemed like his claim of right was even stronger, right?
Yeah, in some ways it was. Riddles actually said that he knew Bellamy and that she really did owe him money. This wasn't some random person he was accusing.
But that's where the court's reasoning about fungible cash comes in, right?
Exactly. You can't claim to own specific dollar bills the same way you can claim a specific stolen item, like a watch or something.
Right, right.
So even though Riddles said he was just taking back what was his, the court said using force to do that made it robbery.
So even if you have, like, a signed contract or something that proves you're owed money, that doesn't give you the right to get violent about it.
Nope. The legal system has ways to deal with these disputes, and those ways focus on peaceful resolution, not violence.
It's about making sure things stay orderly, you know?
Yeah.
Preventing chaos.
Exactly. Think about what would happen if everyone just used force to get back what they thought they were owed.
Total anarchy, right?
Totally. And that's what these cases are all about. The court is saying, hey, we understand the urge to take matters into your own hands, but let's stick to a system where things are resolved fairly and peacefully.
Okay, so let's break down some of the legal arguments that were made in these cases.
Sounds good to me.
One of the biggest things the court had to figure out was the difference between specific property and what they called fungible cash, right?
Yeah, and how that affects the claim of right defense.
So they were saying that when it comes to a specific identifiable thing, like that stolen car we talked about earlier, or maybe a piece of jewelry.
Right.
There's a better argument for using the claim of right defense, even if a little force is used.
Yeah, because then the person can actually point to the thing and say, that's mine, it was stolen from me, and I have a right to get it back.
But with money, it's a different story, especially if it's not like a rare coin or something.
Exactly. Cash is usually interchangeable. You can't say, those are my $20 bills.
So the court drew a line saying the claim of right defense only works when someone is trying to get back a specific, unique item.
Right. It's all about setting clear boundaries.
And that's important, both for making sure the law is upheld and for making sure everyone knows what could happen if they break the rules.
Couldn't agree more.
This is a great example of how what seems like a simple legal question can actually be really complicated.
It really shows that it's not enough to just know the rules. You also have to understand the big picture ideas behind the law.
Because in the end, the law isn't just about rules. It's about creating a society that's fair and where things run smoothly.
Exactly. Well said. Now, before we wrap up, I think we should touch on the court's decision not to rule on whether the claim of right defense applies in those non-debt robbery cases.
Yeah, that's still a big question. What about using force to get back stolen stuff that isn't money?
Right, right. For now, we only have part of the answer. It's like a puzzle with some missing pieces.
So they gave us a way to understand the law when it comes to debt, but we still have some unanswered questions about other types of property disputes.
And that's what keeps things interesting, right? There's always something more to learn and explore.
I'm definitely hooked. Let's move on to the last part of our conversation and see what other insights we can uncover.
Let's do it.
All right, so we've spent the last couple parts of our deep dive really digging into People versus Reed and People versus Riddles.
And like we talked about, the big takeaway is that you can't use force to collect a debt, even if you really believe someone owes you money.
Right. The court made that crystal clear with these decisions.
Absolutely. They really drew a line between robbery and larceny.
And they said, flat out, using force is just not acceptable when it comes to settling debts.
No way.
But, like you mentioned before, they left some questions unanswered, particularly when it comes to situations that don't involve debt. Like, they didn't say whether that claim of right defense still applies if someone uses force to get back stolen property that isn't money.
Yeah, that's a whole different ballgame.
Right. It feels kind of like a gray area, legally speaking. Like, on the one hand, you'd think someone should be able to get their own stuff back, even if it means using some force.
It's a tough one, for sure. You have to balance those individual rights with the need to keep society safe and orderly. I mean, the court was concerned that if you let people use force in these situations, things could spiral out of control pretty quickly.
I get that. It's a slippery slope. Like, where do you draw the line between reasonable force and, you know, just going overboard?
Exactly. It's tricky. And that's why the law generally encourages people to use the legal system to deal with these issues rather than trying to take matters into their own hands.
Right. But I think a lot of people would argue that going through the legal system can take forever. You know?
Yeah.
And what if the police are swamped with other cases and you see a chance to get your property back right then and there? It would be tempting to just, like, go for it.
Yeah, I understand that. It's a natural reaction. But imagine what happened if everyone just decided to use force whenever they felt like it.
It would be chaos.
Total chaos. And that's what the court is trying to present. They're saying, look, we know it's frustrating, but let's stick with a system where things are resolved peacefully and fairly.
So if someone's in this position, they've had something stolen, and the legal options seem like a dead end or just too slow, what should they do?
Well, the first thing is always safety. Never put yourself in danger. If there's any way to get the police involved, that's always the best route. But if that's not possible, document everything. Take pictures, get witness statements, anything that can help prove what happened.
And then talk to a lawyer ASAP, right? Because as we've seen from these cases, even if you think you're in the right, using force to get your stuff back could get you into some serious legal hot water.
Exactly. These cases are a good reminder that the law, even when it's a pain in the neck, is there to protect everyone.
So to sum up our deep dive, I think we can say that the line between self-help and breaking the law is thinner than a lot of people realize, especially when it comes to things like debt collection or recovering stolen property.
The court is basically saying, think before you act, focus on peaceful solutions, and remember that the legal system, while not perfect, is there to help us navigate these tricky situations.
And on that note, we've come to the end of our exploration of People versus Reed and People versus Reynolds. We hope you've learned a little something about this complex area of the law.
And maybe you've even started thinking about some of the bigger questions, like the balance between individual rights and keeping society safe and orderly.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.
See you then.